Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Good to be with you. Jerry Escher in for Cy Kellett. At the end of a three-day run for me, Cy is going to be back with you, and always a blessing to spend this time with you. Great job by Carlo Broussard in hour number one. And this hour, we are going to give you a bonus, kind of an Oreo cookie Q&A open forum. It happens for 2 hours on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And today, for this hour, Jimmy Akin, senior apologist at Catholic Answers, is going to answer whatever question is on your mind. And Jimmy, it's a good second time this week we get to work together.
Yeah, it's an unexpected treat. So always happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, we had a couple of folks from the first hour hang on, so they will start us off. But here's the phone number. Again, it's anything goes on Q&A open forums on Catholic Answers Live. 888-291-8000 is the number. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the customer service line, and I am going to give you that number. For to be on the show, it's 888-318-7884. But I guess that was probably a providential slip there on my part because, Jimmy, as you may have heard, maybe you didn't, customer service is kind of swamped with people calling on that 20 Answers Challenge. So, again, this is the final day for you to take advantage of that, dear friends. Catholic Answers making all 26 books in their 20 Answers series available as part of the Lent and Easter Challenge. And they are challenging you, inviting you, giving you the opportunity to bolster your knowledge of the faith and your ability to share it by offering you 60% off the normal price for all 26 books in the series and free shipping on top of that. And today is the last day of that offer, so customer service lines are busy, but the internet is open and easy and available at the shop.catholic.com, shop.catholic.com. If you want to speak to a live human being, just call 888-291-8000, and let's keep those phone lines. I just love the fact, Jimmy, that customer service came running into this radio studio and said, please encourage people to go to the internet. The phones are swamped.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's a testament to the popularity of the offer. But actually, whether you want to go to the website, if that's an option for you, that's great. But it's more important that you are able to get the set. And so if you need to call, if that's your preferred way of getting it, call away.
Absolutely. 888-291-8000 or Catholic.com is the shop there. And again, the radio show phone number, 888-318-7884. Catholic Answers Live into its 21st year on the air. And Jimmy, you've been a part of each and every one of those years, so I know the listeners love the opportunity to have access to you. So unless you have anything else, we will dive right in.
Let's go to it.
All right, Angela, thanks for holding through the top of the hour break in Elkhart, Texas, watching on YouTube. Hello, Angela. Welcome with Jimmy Akin. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for your patience.
Angela, you're on the air. What's your question? Oh, dear.
I was raised and am currently actively involved in a Protestant restorative church. And my best friend of 8 years is Catholic. He's going through some stuff right now and is attempt to be understanding for him.
Angela, forgive me. Your phone line is cutting out, and we want to be able to hear very clearly what you have to say. So please, we're going to test your patience just for a couple more minutes here. And I don't know if you need to reposition yourself or something for that cell phone connection, but we'll have the call screener pick up and just make sure it's clear. Because like I said, Jimmy wants to hear very clearly what your question is. So hold on there, Angela and Elkhart. We'll start this hour with Patsy in St. Petersburg, Florida, listening on Peace Be With You Radio. Patsy, you're on with Jimmy Akin on Catholic Answers Live. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing okay.
Good.
Great. I have a question that occurred to me while at adoration and also when praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Mm-hmm.
When we say the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our dear Lord, how does the soul come into play? How does that happen when he's divine and human? How do,
okay. So
I never thought of it before.
Yeah. So Jesus is both divine and human, and over the course of time, it was clarified by councils. That means he's fully God and fully man. So in his divine nature, he has a complete divine nature, and that's what we referred to in that prayer when we refer to his divinity. We're referring to his divine nature. The other things that are referred to all pertain to his human nature. When we say body, blood, and soul, we're referring to the different parts of a human entity. In the case of a human, we have a physical side, which consists of body and blood. You can also break it down more finely than that, if you want, into the various individual organs and, you know, bodily constituents. But in general terms, we can refer to somebody's physical side as having body and blood. But a human is not simply a physical entity. Humans, in addition to having a physical side, also have a spiritual side. They have a soul. And that's what's referred to when we refer to Jesus's soul in this prayer. When we say his soul, we're referring to the created spiritual side of his human nature. And it's a created reality, the same as the matter in his physical human nature is created matter. It's something that isn't part of his divine nature, and so it didn't exist for all eternity. His divine nature obviously does exist eternally in the eternal now outside of space and time, but his physical, his human nature, including both its physical and spiritual sides, is a created reality that exists inside the realm of space and time. And so that's what we're referring to when we're referring to his soul. It's the created human soul that he has, which he needs to have in order to be fully human. If he didn't have a human soul, if he were just, as some people have put it, God in a bod, he wouldn't be fully human. He would just be deity using a body to appear human. And that's not what he was. He wasn't just appearing to be human. He really was human.
So what would happen to his soul after crucifixion and upon resurrection or ascension?
After crucifixion, when he died, his soul went to the place of the dead, and that's what we refer to in the creeds, where we say things like he descended to the dead. His soul went to the realm of the dead. Now, specifically where in the realm of the dead is something that is open for discussion, especially in this period before the opening of heaven, exactly where the dead were located and how that relates to where they're located now is something that theologians have speculated on. But what the creed affirms is that he went to the place of the dead. And so that's just like what every human soul does upon death. It goes to the place of the dead. In terms of where his soul is now, well, because it's been reunited with his body, and because his body is enthroned in heaven, then that's where his soul is right now too. His human soul, is located with his living body gloriously in heaven. This understanding of heaven, though, we need to distinguish it from the eternal now, because you can't take something that's inside of time and take it out of time. That doesn't make any sense. If something is either in eternity or not, you don't pass and forth between them. So this understanding of heaven is part of God's created world, where also are other created beings like angels and the souls of the saints and even a few humans who have their bodies like the Virgin Mary.
All right, Patsy, hope that helps you out. Thanks so much for calling Catholic Answers Live. And if you need further help with that, you can always go to Catholic.com or call the Apologist line at 619-387-7200, where any member of the Catholic Answers Apologetic staff can spend any amount of time with you that you would like by phone. Folks, you can always also write your letters or emails and connect with one of Catholic Answers Apologists. All right, Angela, you are next, and I think we have you up and ready to go in Elkhart, Texas. Sorry about that false start, Angela. Welcome, and you get to go with Jimmy Akin.
Hi, can you hear me now?
That's much better, yes.
We got you now, yeah.
How can we help?
Okay, I'm sorry. I live way out in the country.
No problem.
Cell signal is spotty.
I'm envious.
Well, let's make the best of it while we have it. What's your question?
Okay, I was raised and currently am active in a Protestant restorative church.
Uh-huh.
My best friend in the world is Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and he's going through some stuff right now, and in an attempt to be more supportive to him, I started trying to learn more about Catholicism, and in my pursuit to learn more about Catholicism, I'm finding more and more things that I agree with,
mm-hmm.
or things that I don't object to,
mm-hmm.
or things that I was ignorant about for so many years that I understand now. And I'm becoming really, really fascinated by the whole Catholic Church mm-hmm. belief system.
Sure.
And I want to know where I can go to learn more.
Okay.
Like I told him, I'm not trying to convert myself to what he was growing up or what I was growing up. I want truth.
Right.
And where can I go to find that?
Okay. Well, I guess I'd recommend a number of things. First of all, I think it's great that it's very kind of you as a friend to want to learn more about your friend's faith so that you can be a better friend to him. That's awesome. I also completely appreciate your desire to find truth rather than, you know, focusing on other considerations. I myself am a convert to the Catholic faith from a Protestant background, and so I've been through that journey. And in my journey, truth was also the foremost thing on my mind. So I very much appreciate and respect that principle. In terms of where to go to learn more, well, the station you're listening to or the channel you're listening to, I guess I see here you're listening on YouTube, and that's great. We're here on Catholic Answers Live on YouTube, you know, every weekday, and I'd encourage you to, you know, use that as a resource, continue to watch the show. And also, I can recommend our website, Catholic.com. We have lots of resources there. You know, here on the show, the topic changes from day to day. It may not always be a topic that you're immediately interested in listening, and you may have a particular question or something that you're looking for an answer to, and that's where Catholic.com can be a big help. It's the website of our organization, Catholic Answers, and so we try to bring the same level of professionalism and reliability to Catholic.com that we try to bring here on the air on Catholic Answers Live. And we have literally thousands of free resources that are online right there for you at Catholic.com, including many different questions that we've answered. And we also have an online forum where you can interact with people and ask questions and get answers. So I'd recommend that as a free resource that can be a big help. In addition, I would suggest you might want to make an investment in one particular resource called the Catechism of the Catholic Church. A catechism is a book that explains the faith, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church is the most important catechism that the Catholic Church has. It's actually was written by the bishops of the world and issued by the Pope himself. And so it's the church's most official, most prestigious catechism, and thus its most prestigious, most official explanation of the Catholic faith, at least in general terms. There are it being a catechism, it's meant to be a basic presentation of the faith, so it doesn't go into everything. But it is a good summary and a really good starting point for someone who just wants to know what the Catholic Church teaches on a whole range of issues. If you continue on this journey and decide that, you know, you want to investigate the possibility of being Catholic. The way to do that would be to contact your local Catholic parish. Every Catholic parish pretty much has an inquirer's class that is there to help people learn more about the faith and to decide, is it something that they think God is calling them to? And so that would be a next step if you are interested in exploring that. Incidentally, if you do that, you're likely to encounter a term, an abbreviation actually, that is often used. The abbreviation is RCIA. And so if you go to a parish and you hear about RCIA, what that stands for is the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. It's the way that adult people like you and me end up going through this process to become Catholic. And so if you call up and say, hey, I'm interested in your inquirer's class, someone might mention RCIA in that context, and that's what they're talking about.
How's that, Angela? Does that help?
Class, is that for somebody who is definitely planning to convert?
No.
Or somebody who's just thinking strongly?
Just someone who's interested in inquiring. Actually, sometimes people take inquirer's classes who don't have any intention to convert. They may just be, say, married to a Catholic and they want to inquire about the faith as a way of learning about their spouse's faith. So there's no commitment. Most people who are taking an inquirer's class are open to converting. They're at least thinking about it, but there's no commitment.
Yeah, I am open. I mean, like I said, I'm looking for the truth, and I'm open to admitting if I was wrong all these years or if I was taught wrong or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to know what's right.
That's a very spiritually healthy attitude to take, and that's pleasing to God. That's really great, Angela, that you're focused on truth and wanting to do God's will, not simply relying on the way things have always been in your life.
Yeah. All right, Angela, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. And maybe, you know, kind of reframe that thinking, you know, maybe I was wrong all these years to maybe just simply you just didn't have full information or something like that,
yeah.
Which is certainly available.
Or here's something new to learn.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Angela. You have our prayers, and please keep us posted. Call Catholic Answers Live anytime, and as Jimmy suggested, go to Catholic.com for other resources. Joe is next in Newburgh, New York. Rob, Eric, Tim, Neil, my goodness, lines are full, no surprise. This is an open forum, question and answer program on Catholic Answers Live with Jimmy Akin. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett. I'll tell you a little bit more about the 20 Answers Challenge on the other side of this short break, so stay with us.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
Hi, this is Tim Staples, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off free shipping and over 500 answers to questions you have about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they each found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous time in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform yourself is a good place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. and St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Back to your calls for Jimmy Akin momentarily here. This is an exciting day, though. It's the last day for you to take advantage of a deep, deep discount and free shipping on the Catholic Answers 20 Answers booklets. There are 26 of them in all, and they deal with virtually every imaginable subject of Catholic theology, practice, belief, even non-Catholic religions and faiths and so forth. And each of these booklets, of course, as the series title suggests, has 20 answers, different angled questions and different answers on things like Mary and the papacy and the sacraments and purgatory and end-of-life issues, morality, Mormonism, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, I think, is one of the included books. So if you want to become a much more well-rounded person in the faith and defender of the faith, take advantage of the 20 Answers Challenge. And here's how it works. Catholic Answers is offering you right now, through the end of today, 60% off on all 26 books and free shipping, and just simply inviting you to take your time. They're very digestible. And between now and the end of the Easter season, which is May 20th, work your way through all 26 of those books. So very, very simple. And the way that you do that is you call customer service right now, if you would. I'm going to ask for about another 20 or 30 of you to do that. Let's just keep those phone lines busy at 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000. Or you can do it very easily and securely at your leisure at theshop.catholic.com. But again, today is the final day for you can get these anytime you want, but today's the last day for 60% off the normal price and free shipping. And you're up to the challenge. It's Lent. We all love a good challenge. So be among the goal is 1,500 people, and we started the show today with about 1,350 who have taken advantage of that. So I know we're getting close. I'd say there's probably another 100 or so to go, and we'll reach that goal of 1,500. So will you help us out with that and help yourself at the same time? Shop.catholic.com or 888-291-8000. Jimmy's going to talk next with Joe in Newburgh, New York, watching Catholic Answers Live on Facebook. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good to have you with us.
Doing okay. What's your question, Joe?
Hey, well, basically, I want to come back. I want to come back to the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
About a month ago, and it's kind of fitting that it only happened within a month, but a month ago, I ended up converting to Orthodoxy.
Oh.
After about a two-year discerning situation that was going on with me. I discovered Orthodoxy. I had, fell in love with the liturgy, theology, and so on. And I went through the process of chrismation last month. Mm. And ever since I've done that, I've started to realize an ugly reality, and that is it's not the same. While it claims to be the same, it's not. And the attacks against the Catholics that they have that are going on within, it made absolutely no sense to me. I still have nothing against the Pope. I have nothing against his office. I have nothing against the Church and what she teaches. I thought spiritually this is where I was being led. But I've come to realize now that it was a lot of my own selfishness that made me go that route. And I'm looking to come back into the fold. But I'm curious about, the situations that are going on nowadays with the Pope and, the things that, with the Father Martin situation and all that other stuff. How do I process all of this to take this all in to come back into the Catholic Church?
Okay.
That's my question.
Well, first of all, let me mention just briefly what it would take for you to come back to the Church. You need to go to confession. And that's basically it. If there are any particular issues that need to be cleared up of a canonical nature, they would come up in confession. But that's the fundamental thing. So when you feel the time is right, all you need to do is go to confession. In terms of processing the issues, connected with Pope Francis or Father Martin or whatever it may be, the the way I looked at I had to face a similar question when I was first becoming Catholic after having been an evangelical, because I was aware there were various problems in the church and there were criticisms that were being made, justly or unjustly, of various Catholic figures. And I said to myself, what's important is not what I feel and not what's happening with other people. What's important is the truth. Either this is Jesus' church or it's not. Now, if it's Jesus' church, I need to be part of it. And I need to be part of it regardless of what problems there may be in it. In fact, if it's Jesus' church and there are problems in it, I need to get in so I can help and do my part in helping heal those problems. So that was part of what I began with. But there was also some more, which I'll talk about on the other side of the break.
Yeah, Joe, stay with us. And Tim in Vancouver, Neil in Elkton, Virginia. We have an open phone line, 888-318-7884. Open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Do join us.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed a list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Thank you so very much, first of all, for this ministry. You have no idea what a blessing you and EWTN have been in my life and for my life, and I just thank you for that.
Well, first off, I'd like to say God bless you for your ministry, and my wife prayed daily for EWTN. It's a game changer in our world.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Cy Kellett is back tomorrow. I'm Jerry Escher, thanking Catholic Answers Live, the entire show team and apostolate for the honor and opportunity to be with you these last 3 days. And Jimmy Akin is with us this hour for an open forum, talking with Joe in Newburgh, New York. Joe, sorry about the interruption there. And Jimmy, I know you had a little bit more you wanted to share.
Yeah. So as I was explaining before we had our heartbreak, when I was in the process of becoming Catholic, I was aware that there were problems in the Catholic Church, and there were also allegations of various kinds against different churchmen, some of them fair, some of them unfair. And I made a determination that I need to discern, is this Jesus's church? The question here is truth, not are there problems? And if it's Jesus's church, I need to be part of it. And especially if there are problems in it, I need to do what I can to help with those problems, to make things better. I mean, that's what's going to correspond to the will of Jesus, is for people to join his church and help improve things. So that led me to another question, which is, well, do the existence of problems, real or alleged, in the Catholic Church count as evidence that it's not Jesus's church? Well, no, they don't. And that's pretty clear from Scripture. If you look at the institution of Jesus's church in the New Testament, there are already problems. The Corinthian church in particular had a lot of problems. And it wasn't just the Corinthian church. Many of Paul's letters were written to deal with problem situations in various congregations. There was an entire heresy that had to be dealt with that consumed a lot of Paul's attention, and also the attention of other leaders in the early church, that said you had to become a Jew and become circumcised in order to be saved. And that wasn't true. If you look in Revelation, in the letters to the seven churches, there are repeated problems addressed. So the church, being a church of sinners all the way from the beginning, can have problems, and they can be serious ones. And that's clearly reflected in the New Testament itself. Also, well, so, you know, sometimes allegations are made regarding the Pope. Well, let's talk about the first Pope. Were there any problems in St. Peter's ministry? Yeah, absolutely there were. He denied Jesus three times. Now, Jesus restored him to his office, but he denied Jesus three times. And then there were further criticisms that were made even after Jesus had ascended and Peter was functioning as the head of the earthly church. I mean, St. Paul at one point opposed him to his face, and there were various other challenges to his leadership, some of them unfair, that were made by people when, for example, when he received Cornelius's family into the church without circumcising them. So there have been allegations, both justified and unjustified, regarding popes from the very beginning. So none of the problems that one may have reported to one regarding the Catholic Church today are anything new or anything different or any evidence that this isn't Jesus's church. The fact is, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. So his church is a single church, a single communion that has existed from the first century, and he put Peter in charge of it. Not only in Matthew 16:18, where he says, on this rock I will build my church, but also in other passages, like in Luke 22, where he tells Peter to strengthen his brethren, and in John 21, where he tells Peter to feed his sheep with the other disciples right there. And so this is something that's stressed not just in one passage, but in multiple passages in the New Testament. Peter was established as the leader of the church, and so whatever other leaders there are, Jesus's church is defined by having a Petrine leader, by having the successor of Peter. And that means that whatever problems there may be in the Catholic Church, it's the organic continuation of Jesus's church down to today. That's simply what the truth is, and whatever problems there may be, don't challenge that fact. Instead, they're an invitation to unite with the church and help improve things. So that's the basic way I looked at it, and that's the viewpoint that I'd commend to you, Joe.
What do you think, Joe?
All right. I think that's a great idea. I really like that. That was perfect.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
No problem. And if there are particular things we can help you with as well, by all means, please let us know, either here on the air or off the air.
Yeah, and you're surrounded by prayers, Joe, from everybody at Catholic Answers and all of our listeners as well. God's got you on a beautiful journey, and he's going to bring it to completion. So thanks for your openness to his will in your life, and we appreciate you calling. Rob is next in Grand Rapids, listening on Holy Family Radio to Catholic Answers Live. Hi, Rob. You're on with Jimmy Akin. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good, fine.
Good. I appreciate it. My brother hit me with a couple of questions. He said, with Abraham, why did God have to bring him to the point of the sacrifice with Isaac? My brother's an unbeliever, totally, and he doesn't get why God had to do that. And I told him it was to build his faith, and he didn't seem to accept that. And the other question, big one he brought up was, the God of the Old Testament seems so much different than Jesus. Is it like Jesus comes along in his words and makes up for the mistakes that God did in the Old Testament?
Okay. So let's address the second issue first, because that seems to be the underlying issue in his mind, at least from what you've said. Whenever there is this kind of cliche that people will talk about the God of the Old Testament being different than the God of the New Testament, being more violent or vengeful or harsh or whatever. And there's an element of truth there, but only an element. And frankly, I find this claim very exaggerated. I mean, if you actually sit down and read the Old Testament and then read the New Testament, God's character just isn't that different. I mean, you find passages in the Old Testament that talk and eloquently talk about God's mercy and compassion and love for everybody, not just his own people, but Gentile people as well. So there are just very moving, very eloquent passages about God's love and his mercy all throughout the Old Testament. And if you look in the New Testament, there are passages that talk about God's justice in rather stark terms, where if you just focused on those passages and didn't also bring in the passages about God's mercy, you would think, wow, this sounds really harsh. This sounds really, you know, frightening. There's even, you know, a passage in the book of Hebrews that says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. And so if you just focused on those without looking at the others, then you could get a very different impression. And so what I have found when people talk about this alleged difference in God's character between the two testaments is that they really haven't read both testaments, not thoroughly. I mean, they may have, you know, had someone cherry-pick different passages and present them to them, but they haven't read them thoroughly, because really you find both the element of God's justice and the element of God's mercy throughout both the Old and the New Testament. And both of them get presented in very forceful terms. His mercy is at times presented very forcefully and eloquently. His justice is at times presented very forcefully and eloquently. And so there's really not that the kind of difference that people think there is, not if you really sit down and read the texts thoroughly. Having said that, is there some difference? Yeah, there is. There is some difference. Why is that? Well, from a Christian point of view, the answer is that God led his people along in a progressive way. It's what's known as progressive revelation. The idea is, for whatever reason, rather than just downloading all the information about himself into somebody's brain, say Moses's, all at once, he instead revealed himself in stages. And he weaned a people away from pagan gods, and they became devoted to him. And he progressively over time revealed more about himself, until when he sent his son, Jesus, he revealed the fullness of the revelation that he meant mankind to have. Now, of course, God's mystery is infinite, so there's still an infinite amount we don't know in this life. But in terms of what he chose to reveal to mankind, that was a process that led up to the ministry of Jesus, who fully disclosed the message of God for mankind in this life. And that means we need to take account of the shifting times that God was making these different stages of revelation in. This is something Jesus himself points out when he's questioned at one point about why Moses allowed divorce if Jesus said it's ultimately not God's will. And his answer was, well, Moses allowed divorce because your hearts were hard. At the time that Moses lived, people were not prepared to accept certain things about God, like divorce is not his will. And they were just, you know, we just need the right to divorce our wives. And, well, of course, wives don't need the right to divorce their husband. That wasn't part of the ancient Hebrew worldview. But the men felt very strongly that they needed to be able to divorce their wives. And even though it didn't fully correspond to God's will, God was willing to tolerate that for a time because they were like unruly children who weren't mature enough to be able to accept all of the truth of what they need to do and what they need to avoid. Just like parents tolerate children at an early unruly stage where, you know, they haven't been properly socialized yet and they're very selfish and demanding, and that's just a stage they go through. But eventually they need to grow out of that, and as that happens, they become more mature, they're given a clearer explanation of what they need to do and what they need to avoid, and they're given more responsibility. And that corresponds to the stage where Jesus came and said, okay, even though in the past God tolerated you divorcing your wives, you need to understand that's not ultimately his will. That's not the way he set things up. And so what God has joined together, let man not put asunder. And in expressing this principle, specifically applied to marriage, Jesus reveals something broader than that, which is that the culture that was in place at the beginning of the Old Testament period was not yet fully mature, and it had a certain had just been weaned away or was in the process of being weaned away from paganism and from pagan cultures that actually did barbaric things like sacrifice children to idols. And so there is kind of a mixture, especially in this early period, of ethnocentrism and of hostility and a kind of barbarism that characterized the people of Israel early on in their history and that God gradually weaned them from. And so as you walk through the different phases of the Old Testament, you transition from a period where there seems to be more barbarism to a period where there's a greater awareness and appreciation of God's love for people of every nation, and that eventually comes to full fruition in the ministry of Jesus, where he dies for all of mankind to make salvation possible for everybody from every nation. And then the gospel is to be preached to the entire world, not just to the Jewish people. And so so it's all part of a single continuum where God progressively reveals his will, and that process of progressive revelation explains why there are some shifts in how God is presented. It's because in an earlier time frame, he's talking to a people that has more elements of barbarism. And in a later time period, it's because he's talking to a people that has become more mature. And it's analogous to the way you have to talk to, say, you know, a two-year-old who's in the terrible twos and is acting up versus the way you talk to someone who's a 20-year-old and is now, you know, on the verge of adulthood. And so we see that process played out in our ordinary lives, and we see it in Scripture as well. And that explains what difference there is. We don't want to exaggerate the amount of that difference, but that explains what difference there is. And it also is part of what happens with Abraham and Isaac. That's part of what's going on in that text. You're correct that it is helping Abraham grow in faith. The way it's expressed in Genesis, it says God put Abraham to the test, but you know he's omniscient, so he already knew Abraham was going to pass the test. So really, this is about helping Abraham grow in some way. And one of the ways it helps Abraham grow and the people of Israel grow is by realizing human sacrifice and child sacrifice is not God's will, because the sacrifice of Isaac is ultimately rejected And scholars of many persuasions, including unbelievers, have looked at that and said, part of what this text is doing is teaching the children of Israel that God does not want them to sacrifice children to him the way some of their neighbors did sacrifice children to gods like Moloch. And so one of the things that's happening with the Abraham story is it's part of that process of weaning the Israelites away from paganism and barbarous practices like child sacrifice.
Wow, Jimmy, I didn't see you in the congregation on Sunday, but that's exactly what the pastor, he made that very point. Yeah, that's fantastic. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Second,
yeah. Rob, thank you. We got to let you go on that note because we have a short little break here and then a few more calls to get to. Jimmy Akin is here on Catholic Answers Live. It's a Q&A open forum on this Wednesday. Usually it's Tuesday and Thursday. Jimmy has jumped in here for the second time this week. Are you on tomorrow too,
yes,
Jimmy?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Wow, three times this week.
Unusual.
All get treated to Jimmy Akin. Okay, 888-318-7884. Get you on a number on the program. Cy Kellett is back tomorrow as well. I'm Jerry Usher filling in for him right now. And we are going to go to Tim in Vancouver next after the break, listening on Mater Dei Radio. So, Tim, hang on, and Neil and the others, we'll get to as many of you as we can. Stay with us.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin, and I'm here to tell you about the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how it works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price. Then you can challenge yourself to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off, free shipping, and over 500 answers to questions you've had about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book that you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. This Lent, plant seeds of faith in the hearts and minds of your non-Catholic friends and family. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today. You can order your copies of Why We're Catholic by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And the challenge is on, but the offer is almost done for you to save 60% and get free shipping on all 26 books in the Catholic Answers 20 Answers Challenge. And I am on Catholic.com on the shop right now, and I'm looking at this, and one thing that just jumped out at me, so many people are curious about angels and demons and the spiritual realm and so forth. That's one of the 20 Answers booklets, along with end-of-life issues, scripture and tradition, faith and science, death and judgment, divorce and remarriage, certainly on the minds and hearts of many people, and of course, many of the usual topics, the papacy, the sacraments, the Bible, miracles, the Eucharist, and even non-Christian religions. So there are 26 books in all. And the challenge, here's a challenge for you to get a hold of these at 60% off and have the shipping covered by Catholic Answers. And between now and the end of the Easter season, May 20th, just consume all 26 of these books, grow in your knowledge of the faith, your ability to share the faith, and what a difference that's going to make in your life. And this offer is, again, ending at the end of the day. So you've got until, I guess, midnight tonight, Pacific time. to go online at Catholic.com on the shop, or you can call right now. I think there are a few more minutes for you to get through to customer service at 888-291-8000, 888-291-8000. The goal was to get 1,500 people by the end of this month, and start of the show today, we were at 1,350, and I know we're very, very close because the lines have just been very, very busy, so keep those calls coming, and take that challenge. Take it up and see what a difference it makes in your life. 888-291-8000 or shop.catholic.com. All right, Tim in Vancouver. As promised, we're going to go to you next, listening on Mater Dei Radio. Hi, Tim. You're on with Jimmy Akin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing okay. Listen, doing well, Tim, we've got only a few minutes left in the show. We have a number of people who have been holding a while, so I'm going to try to give really brief answers. So if you could give me a really brief question to tee it up, that would be great.
Uh-oh. Maybe I should call back tomorrow, huh?
You'd be welcome to do that, but what's the question?
A couple weeks ago, I heard something that just shocked me on this radio station.
What was that?
And it was, if somebody had not heard the gospel message and somebody had not joined the Catholic Church, then God, through his mercy, could save that individual, and I 100% agree. Okay. However, they said if somebody has heard the gospel message but has not joined the Catholic Church, then they cannot be saved.
Okay. That,
so my question I think
I understand your question, and the answer is that is not true. That is not the teaching of the Catholic Church. Now, I don't know who may have said this or in what context, and I suspect that something may have been misunderstood somewhere along the line, but that is not the teaching of the Catholic Church. If one has heard the gospel and knowingly and deliberately rejects it, knowingly meaning not just I know I'm rejecting this, but I've seen evidence that should tell me this is true and I need to embrace it, and I say, I don't care if it's true, I'm not embracing that. Well, then you're rejecting the truth. You're knowingly rejecting the truth, and that does cut you off from God, who is the truth itself. So if one has seen evidence that should tell you this is the truth, and you reject the gospel, well, then yeah, you are in spiritual jeopardy. But you have to have that evidence there. The mere fact someone repeats to you the gospel does not impose an obligation of itself. If someone comes up to you who is clearly a madman and says that Hitler was a really groovy guy and pigs live in trees and Jesus was the Son of God, and that's all you've ever heard about Jesus, that message from that madman does not create an obligation for you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God just because a crazy person told you. You have to have evidence of some kind that obligates you to believe, and then you have to reject the gospel anyway.
Then you're telling me that you can be saved outside of the Catholic Church.
In principle, yeah. If you're unaware, innocently, that it's Jesus' church and that he wants you to be part of it. If you are aware that it's Jesus' church and he wants you to be part of it, and you say, I don't care that it's Jesus' church, I've seen the evidence that shows it is, but I just don't care, I'm doing my own thing, well, then you're refusing Jesus on a fundamental matter and you're cutting yourself off from him. But that's different than just having heard the claim and not acting on it.
All right, Tim, thanks. Glad we could help you out with that. And by the way, as we mentioned, tomorrow is another full 2 hours of Q&A open forum program. So apologies to Neil and Peter and Ronnie and Anonymous in Ohio. But this happens all the time. Jimmy, the strangest thing is we just can't stop time from ticking on, can we?
No.
Remember the old Steve Miller song?
Indeed. Also, tomorrow is another day. I've heard that somewhere before. I am going to be on first hour tomorrow. So people who haven't been able to get on today can call right at the top of the show before the lines fill up, and I'll be more than happy to answer their questions.
Very good. Thanks, Jimmy. Always enjoy it.
Thank you, Jerry.
By the way, folks, if you want to catch my program on many of these affiliates, Monday through Friday at noon Eastern time and a replay at midnight Eastern, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And tomorrow we have our monthly Who or What Are You Praying For program. So share your prayer intentions with us and the world, and we'll get people praying for what's important to you. But I want to end this this hour of the program and this day of Catholic Answers Live. By the way, Cy is back tomorrow. Another encouragement for you to take advantage of the Catholic Answers 20 Answers Challenge. Maybe you've taken up several different disciplines during Lent. That is fantastic. One of the things, remember, Jesus talks about in the Bible, or it says in the Bible, God wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So the two are connected very intimately. So come to a deeper knowledge of the truth of our Catholic faith by taking the Catholic Answers 20 Answers Challenge. And that is the 26 books. Each of them has 20 answers on a different theological subject or theme. And the sampler of all of them is available at 60% off the normal price and free shipping. Customer service is open for a few more minutes here. Get on the phone, 888-291-8000. And you've got until the end of the day, Pacific time, at Catholic.com to take advantage of that. We are so close. I think we need just a few more people to get to that goal of 1,500 people. So again, it's 888-291-8000 or shop.catholic.com. Again, Cy Kellett is back with you tomorrow with Jimmy Akin on a Thursday Q&A open forum program. I'm Jerry Esser, bidding you a good evening. God bless.